Mum As You Are is a place for self-compassionate reflection, to use what you have within you right now, as you are, perfectly imperfect, to find your way through motherhood. I'm Dr. Erin Bauer, clinical and perinatal psychologist, author of More Than a Healthy Baby, course creator, and mum of two. This is my second podcast. Welcome if you've followed me over from my birth trauma work. This current podcast offering is bite-sized, unfancy, and unplanned. A roadmap for finding your way back to self-compassion and how to replace numbing and escapism with true, meaningful fun. I talk about motherhood as an identity and an institution, perinatal mental health and patriarchy, parental burnout and numbing. The core message is to practice the question, I wonder. Instead of judging ourselves and engaging in comparisonitis, we simply ask ourselves, I wonder. I wonder. Okay, so this is the second part about judging ourselves and judging other parents that I wanted to talk about. And so let's think about what happens when we judge other people's mistakes as character flaws, but then we somehow magically expect other people to know that our mistakes are due to the situation and not to do with us as a person. It's called the fundamental attribution error. It's a fancy way of saying when you judge other people, you're making judgments based on their character, right? So that person's lazy, they're stupid, they're an idiot, whatever. But we somehow magically think that people will give us the benefit of the doubt, if you like. So if we muck up somehow, people will somehow just magically know that we've got a situation going on. So a good example of this might be when you're driving and someone is erratic on the road, they overtake you, they're speeding, they're running a red light, and you think to yourself, what an idiot, right? You say to yourself, I'd never do that. Except then one day you get that call, the call that nobody ever wants to get, which is along the lines of, hurry to the hospital, your child's been in a terrible accident. Your mum at the nursing home is on her last hour, your partner, you know, has been injured at work or something like that. And now all of a sudden it's you behaving erratically on the road and you hope that somehow others are going to know that your child has been in an accident or you've had a call from a nursing home or, you know, even that you've got gastro or something and you're driving quickly and erratically because you don't want to have an accident in the car, right? So I often think about this, like how different would roads be if you could somehow access messages about what was going on for other people? I mean, beyond the hazard lights. I mean, I don't know how you would do that, but things that pop up that say, yes, I'm on my way to the hospital because, you know, somebody's in labour or something. So we actually had information. Would we be kinder to each other? I suppose reading messages or extra information might distract us from the purpose of driving. But anyway, you see where I'm going. Judgments and parenting just go hand in hand. And having awareness of this and what purpose it serves, I think can make the process of making social connections kinder and also just being kinder to ourselves. So I think parenting is one of those times where you get to be really clear about what your values are, what you believe, and what you stand for. And if you can't shine a beacon on those values, then I suppose people who are a good match for you in terms of they have similar values, they share similar interests, similar types of humour, they're not going to be able to find you. So I think, you know, we're taught to find groups of parents potentially that we have things in common with. And that can be fine, like as in you like the same music or you like the same pram or something, but it's got to come down to like a value, really, often, to have a meaningful relationship. And if you don't put your hand up and say, hello, this is what sort of approach I like and this is what I value and I'm out there, you're just not going to find them. So it's worth thinking about how we do judge other people according to what we think is a character thing. Another good example that I came across recently was in Sally Rippon's book, Wild Things. So it's Sally's a children's author, but she talks in this book about her experience of having a son, so her third son, with dyslexia and ADHD. So having a kind of like, oh, didn't expect to have a child who would struggle with reading, right? So the example she gives is how previously she would have been quite judgmental, and I think some of us probably see ourselves in this category too, about not being particularly pro phones and iPads and devices, I suppose, in school. And if I think about it, like I'm still not. I still don't necessarily think it's necessary. But then again, you just start with that example. So think for a minute about the idea of, you know, a parent and school saying, yep, you can have a phone in the classroom. Now, my first reaction to that is like, unnecessary, don't really see why that's a good idea. And then, you know, I might do a little bit of what I sometimes think of as like golden age drift, where like things weren't like that back in my day. We didn't have phones in the class back in my day and it was all great. Anyway, you see where I'm getting at. Except now you get a bit more information. So let's say that particular child that we're talking about has learning difficulties, like severe learning difficulties, and copying notes off the board is laborious, it's time consuming, and it causes a lot of stress for everybody. So remembering that for a lot of kids, this is nothing to do with laziness. It might be that they physically just cannot initiate the skills of writing. That affects a decent percentage of the population. For some people, it's more, or it could be both, the coordination of actually being able to get what you see on a board through into your mind and then filtered down into the maze and then through your hand. So what if you could just take a picture instead? Ah, okay. So with that example, I'm finding like, okay, my opinion's not quite so black and white. And it's not saying, oh, this is an example to say like, you know, we should always have phones and tablets and whatever in the classroom. It's not actually about that. It's just about giving you an example where you may have quickly snap judged something without having all the information. You don't have all the situational kind of clues. But it's also an example, I suppose, where judgments are potentially an opportunity to find out more about ourselves. To actually ask ourselves, like if I'm judging someone in a situation right now, to ask yourself these questions, which might be, why do I care? Why do I have to be right, potentially? Do I have all the information? And another good one is, can I say with any real authority that I'm flawless myself? So if you want your kids to whine less and you think, like I have many times, I'll tell them to stop whining, right? Part of me in that moment, in compassion, of course, is to realize that I'm also not a saint when it comes to whining. I don't go through the day never complaining. So while I'm attempting to kind of raise decent human beings, I also need to be careful about not judging them and putting demands on them that I'm unable to meet myself. So, you know, the example of child discipline, I think, is a good one here, because like what I was talking about before with the golden age, like retro thinking, that things must have been better back in the day, or because we did things in a certain way back in the day, that's the way we should still do them. So the good example there is toddlers doing what toddlers do in airports and supermarkets, having a massive tantrum. And you will see that person, you will see them, who has potentially raised children but is remembering how things were through a filter and thinking, you know, kids were not that badly behaved back in the day. Or maybe it's that other person who doesn't have kids, right, but they definitely have an opinion about what it means for a child to be having a tantrum in the supermarket, okay? So, again, speculations about how things used to be or how they would be if this person was in the same situation, except that we're not there. We're in the now. We're not in the past, about back in the day. We're not in the future. I mean, I think we're all guilty of this too, where, you know, before we had our own kids, there were certain things we said that we would never do. My child won't, insert whatever thing you said your child won't, And now here you are in the present day. And that is exactly what your child is doing. So we also have to remember that back in the day, kids with learning difficulties were told that they were stupid and probably got the cane if they couldn't perform like perfect little trained monkeys. So I think this is just about remembering that if we want to be practicing kindness in our lowest days of parenting, then we must remember to be not just kind to ourselves, but kind to others, including kind to our children. It's a practice. It's not a goal to get to. But that is hopefully just a bit of another helpful way of thinking about the science of judging and what purpose does it serve.